In today's episode of Our Collective Nightmare, we find ourselves once again wandering through the bizarre and macabre landscape that is modern America, a place where even the sanctuaries of healing have become stages for chaos and bloodshed. York, Pennsylvania, a quaint little town now etched into our collective memory as yet another location on the endless map of tragedy. A man named Diogenes Archangel Ortiz, yes, that's not a typo, decided to take his grievances to an ICU with a handgun and zip ties in tow, his motives unclear. His actions crystal clear in their brutality. He waltzed into a hospital, a haven meant for recovery and hope, and transformed it into a theater of fear. The scene unfolded like some grotesque ballet. A police officer gunned down in his line of duty, five others wounded, including those whose very job was to save lives, all while patients lay vulnerable behind thin curtains, clinging to whatever semblance of peace they could muster amidst the pandemonium. And what about the gunman, dispatched by law enforcement after holding an ICU employee hostage at gunpoint? A tragic end to a deranged performance. The irony is not lost here. Someone who sought medical aid just days before returns as an angel of death rather than seeking salvation. As if this nightmare needed more layers, witnesses describe scenes straight out of dystopian fiction. Alarms blaring, people running for their lives in sterile corridors meant for healing, not hiding from bullets. Families visiting loved ones suddenly thrust into scenarios they never imagined outside their darkest dreams. Officials commend bravery, statements pour in lauding heroism, as if words can stitch together shattered lives or bring back those lost too soon. But let's be real, these are band-aids on bullet wounds in a country hemorrhaging from its own insanity. We hear promises that resources will be provided for healing, mental health support tossed like confetti at healthcare workers who must now add survivor to their resumes alongside healer. Meanwhile, thoughts and prayers are dispensed like candy at Halloween because apparently that's all we've got left when faced with such senseless acts. This is America, the land where hospitals double as battlegrounds, and heroes wear scrubs stained with both blood and disbelief. A surreal reality where every day teeters on the brink of madness while we watch helplessly from our screens, sipping coffee laced with resignation instead of cream. So, here we are again. Another day steeped in absurdity wrapped tightly around despair's finger, and all we can do is shake our heads at the tragedy unfolding around us like some cosmic joke without a punchline or end credits rolling anytime soon.
Today on White People Problems, we're diving into a topic that's got the world buzzing and white folks clutching their rosary beads. Pope Francis is in critical condition. Now I know what you're thinking. How could this possibly be a white people problem? Well, let me tell you. First off, while the rest of us are busy worrying about things like inflation or climate change, some folks are out here losing sleep over whether the Pope will be able to deliver his weekly Angelus prayer. Yes, because nothing says existential crisis like missing one of those three times in 12 years. I mean, if only he could have just Zoomed it from his hospital bed. I'm sure there's an app for that. And speaking of hospitals, while Pope Francis is getting high-flow oxygen and blood transfusions, somewhere out there Karen is still trying to convince her doctor that she needs a third booster shot for her gluten allergy. But hey, priorities? Then we have Klaus, our German tourist friend outside St. Peter's Basilica, hoping the Pope will have many strong years left. Klaus probably also hopes his artisanal cheese ages well in his basement fridge back home. Because who doesn't love a good brie with their divine intervention? Meanwhile, kids at the Agostino Gemelli Polyclinic are making get well soon cards for the Pope. Sweet gesture, absolutely. But let's not pretend they wouldn't rather be drawing Pikachu if given the choice. So yes, Pope Francis is indeed an extraordinary man facing extraordinary challenges, but let's keep it real. When your biggest worry is whether you'll catch him live next Sunday or on replay, well folks, that's a white people problem if I've ever seen one.
Welcome to another edition of the Daily Dose of Dystopia, where today's headlines offer a masterclass in the art of irony. Picture this. The United States, ever eager to bolster its strategic reserves of rare earth minerals, has set its sights on Ukraine, a nation currently embroiled in war and desperate for security guarantees. It's a tale as old as time. One nation's crisis is another's opportunity. In a move that would make even the most seasoned opportunists blush, America proposes a deal that seems more like an extortionate shopping spree than a diplomatic negotiation. The draft agreement demands Ukraine hand over its critical resources while offering little in return, except maybe some vague promises of future protection from Russian aggression. because nothing says partnership quite like taking advantage of a war-torn ally. President Zelensky finds himself in the unenviable position of negotiating with President Donald Trump, who recently accused him, without evidence, of starting the very conflict that's ravaging his country. It's almost poetic how quickly allies can become scapegoats when it's convenient for political narratives. Meanwhile, American officials tout this potential resource grab as a win-win scenario. After all, reducing dependency on China sounds great until you realize it involves exploiting another nation's vulnerabilities. But fear not. Once those precious minerals start flowing stateside, America will have every reason to double down on defending Ukraine. Or so goes the optimistic pitch. As negotiations drag on into sleepless nights filled with heated debates over security guarantees, one can't help but wonder if this is diplomacy or just thinly veiled imperialism dressed up in patriotic rhetoric. And yet here we are again, witnessing history repeat itself under new banners and slogans. So what's next? Perhaps we'll see more nations lining up their own Faustian bargains at Ukraine's expense, while claiming moral high ground through social media posts about peace and unity. Because when it comes down to it, nothing unites countries like shared interests wrapped neatly inside geopolitical chess games played out across international borders. Stay tuned for tomorrow's installment, where we'll explore whether humanity can find new ways to exploit each other before completely imploding under self-inflicted chaos. Or simply continue recycling old ones until there's nothing left worth fighting over anymore.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the grand absurdity of life, politics, and everything in between. Today, we're diving into a delightful piece from CNN titled, "Vance will be forced to confront his political future much sooner than his predecessors." So buckle up as we explore the existential questions arising from Vice President J.D. Vance's whirlwind political journey. Picture this. J.D. Vance, our nation's vice president and apparent Swiss Army knife for President Trump. Yes, you heard that right. A multi-tool of a man who finds himself juggling international diplomacy with Ukrainian leaders one day and defending budget talks on Capitol Hill the next. It's like watching someone try to juggle flaming swords while riding a unicycle on a tightrope. Impressive yet potentially disastrous. Now, let's talk about this peculiar predicament Vance faces. Unlike past vice presidents who had the luxury of time before contemplating their political futures, poor JD is thrust into an existential crisis faster than you can say, 2028 presidential election. He's tethered to a president constitutionally barred from running again, an experience akin to being handed the keys to a car that can't leave the driveway. But what does it mean for one's identity when you're known as someone else's Swiss Army knife? Is there an essence beyond being handy in every situation? Perhaps it's time for JD to ask himself, am I more than just Trump's trusty tool? In true existential fashion, Vance must navigate controversies with all the grace of a giraffe on roller skates. His social media escapades have sparked debates among constitutional scholars and even drawn rebukes from Pope Francis himself. And while he may find solace in quoting Catholic doctrine or pushing back against staff dismissals linked to questionable online posts, one wonders if he's ever paused mid-tweet to question, what would Kierkegaard do? Let's not forget his role as chief explainer for Trump, a task fraught with its own philosophical quandaries. Imagine trying to articulate policies when your boss is prone to changing positions like a chameleon at a disco party. One moment you're condemning January 6th rioters. The next thing you know, blanket clemency is granted like Oprah giving away cars. And then there's TikTok, the app that's become America's digital Rubik's Cube. Tasked by Trump with resolving its ownership dispute, Vance finds himself grappling with geopolitical complexities while pondering whether ByteDance sounds more like an avant-garde dance troupe than Beijing-based parent company. As we wrap up today's exploration into J.D. Vance's existential odyssey and ours, remember this: life itself often feels like navigating through chaos armed only with irony, and perhaps some dry humor along the way helps us cope better too.
In the dystopian landscape of 2025, where profit is the sole deity and efficiency its unwavering doctrine, Elon Musk's latest decree stands as a monument to corporate authoritarianism. The billionaire tech mogul has issued an edict demanding federal employees justify their existence with weekly accomplishments or face the guillotine of resignation, a chilling testament to the commodification of human labor. The missive, devoid of any personal touch or signature, lands in inboxes like a digital scythe. Workers are commanded to distill their week's worth into 5 bullet points, stripped of context or humanity. High-priority markers adorn these emails like scarlet letters, signaling urgency in a world where time is money and both are running out. Musk's social media proclamation echoes through cyberspace, comply or be cast aside. It's a stark reminder that in this capitalist fever dream, one's worth is measured not by dedication, but by data points on a spreadsheet. The specter of unemployment looms over those who dare take sick leave or vacation, luxuries for which there is no room in this relentless pursuit of productivity. Federal workers find themselves ensnared in this Kafkaesque nightmare, navigating the absurdity with growing dread. Union leaders scramble to decipher the madness, while advising members to hold their ground against this brazen assault on dignity and livelihood. The legal battlegrounds are set as unions prepare to challenge what they see as unlawful terminations, an uphill battle against an administration that views public service as expendable. President Trump hails Musk's ruthless efficiency as patriotism incarnate, urging him toward even greater aggression under the guise of national salvation. In this twisted narrative, saving the country means gutting its workforce, a perverse logic that only makes sense when viewed through the lens of power and profit. The federal workforce stands at a crossroads, caught between duty and survival, in a system that values neither. As Musk and Trump dismantle protections and erase diversity efforts with surgical precision, one cannot help but wonder if this is merely another step toward an inevitable collapse, a society cannibalizing itself for short-term gain at long-term cost. In this bleak tableau where billionaires dictate policy and workers become mere cogs in an ever-turning machine, we witness capitalism's fever dream unfold, efficient yet soulless, profitable yet perilous, a harbinger of what awaits when humanity becomes secondary to wealth accumulation.